Everyone wants to know who's speaking tonight, who I'm introducing. So no one was willing, so I guess I'm just going to introduce myself. We're starting this week a new Sefer, the Sefer of Shmois, and the Chazal have different names for each of the Sfarim. The way we refer to each Sefer, we have Sefer Bereishis, Shmois, Vayikra, Bamidbar, Dvarim, which basically is really just the name of the first parsha in that particular Sefer. It doesn't necessarily describe anything about the entire Sefer, it just lists the name of the first parsha. In Chazal, there are specific names for each Sefer. The Sefer of Bereishis is Sefer Yetzirah, Sefer Shmois is Sefer Gula, Teres Kohanim, Chumash HaPkudim, and then Mishneh Torah. And each one of those names accurately describes the content of that Sefer. Sefer Yetzirah is describing the creation of the world. Teres Kohanim is the Torah about Kohanim, the Korbanos. Chumash HaPkudim is describing the counts, the different counts that happened in the Sefer. In the beginning of the Sefer, the B'nai Yisrael are counted. At the end of the Sefer, the Jewish people are counted again. And then Devarim is Mishneh Torah, is the repetition of the Torah. Actually, it's interesting because the English name for the Sfarim is actually a translation of the Chazal, of the name that Chazal gave to the Sfarim, if you think about it. Leviticus and Numbers is Chumash HaPkudim, Deuteronomy is, again, repeating the Torah. Those names that are given are the names of a translation that the names the Chazal gave to the Sfarim, and not the names that we actually colloquially use for the Sfarim. What is the name for Sefer Shmois? It's a little bit unclear. The Ramban calls it Sefer HaGeula. The Netziv in the Hakdama to Shmois, in the Hakdama to Sefer Shmois, he brings from the Bahag that the Bahag says, when he's listing the five Sfarim, he says, Sefer Yetzirah, Chumash HaSheni. He refers to Shmois as the second book. Then he says, Teres Kohanim, and he refers to the rest of the Sfarim by name. And he asks, this is an obvious question, he says, why is the Sefer described as Chumash HaSheni, the second book? If you're describing my number, then Vayikra should be the third one, the Sefer HaShlishi, and not Teres Kohanim. What's the significance of Sefer HaSheni? Why is that a description of the book? And the Netziv says, he says, because in Chumash Bereishis, we describe the Yetzirah. The name that Chazal gave is Sefer HaYetzirah, which, again, doesn't necessarily describe the book if you think about it. If it's only describing the Yetzirah, the creation of the world, it should really stop after Parshas Bereishis and maybe include Noach, which is part of the creation of the world. But Lech Lecha through Vayechi has nothing to do with the creation of the world. Lech Lecha through Vayechi is a description of the Ovis, of the stories of the Ovis. Has nothing to do with the creation of the world. So why does Sefer Yetzirah go all the way until Parshas Vayechi? And he says because the Yetzirah of the world has to describe the purpose of the world. The purpose of the world is for people to know about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and for there to be Kiddushim Shemayim in the world. And in order for that to happen, there needs to be a Jewish people. There needs to be a people that's going to be dedicated to the mission of bringing the message of Hashem to the people, to the world. And therefore, in order to complete the Yetzirah, in order to complete creation, you have to describe a little bit about who are those people that are going to bring the Tachlis of the world. And that's a description of Klal Yisrael. So therefore, in the Yetzirah process, we're talking about the Jewish people, we're talking about creation of the world, and then we're talking about the beginning of the creation of the Jewish people, the seeds of the Jewish people. Now, that's describing the whole story of the Ovis, Bereishis, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, until the death of Yaakov. Comes Sefer Shmois, and that's when we're past this level of the seeds, we're past the initial creation of the world, and now we're talking about the story. But it's Chumash HaSheni because it's the second half of the creation. The Ovis are finished, and now the seeds that they planted for Klal Yisrael, for the Jewish people, were planted, and now the Jewish people is born. The Jewish people are born in Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim is the creation of the Jewish people as a nation, and now the nation that's going to fulfill their mission is born. But in a sense, it's the second half. It's the Chumash HaSheni. It's the second half of the Sefer Yetzirah, and it's a creation of the world. It's a creation of the world in the sense that it's creation of the people that are going to bring the Tachlis of the world to fruition. So just as we say in the whole Sefer Bereishis, we say Maisa Avos Simin Labanim. So in Shmois is still a similar concept. Maisa Avos Simin Labanim, in the sense that there's still timeless lessons to learn from Sefer Shmois that apply Lo'olam Vo'ed to all our generations. And the specific lesson that I wanted to talk about tonight that we learned from Sefer Shmois is how to survive in Golos. How can we survive in Golos? The Jewish people were in Golos for 210 years in Mitzrayim, and they were zoichet to be taken out miraculously. So there must be a key somewhere there. Again, that's like the seed. That's the beginning of the birth of the Jewish people. There must be something there that we can learn. So I wanted to just first start with a question on the beginning of the parasha. The first pasuk in the parasha, the first pasuk in the sefer. The sefer starts Ve'elah Shmois b'nei Yisrael haboim Mitzrayim ha'eis Yaakov ishu ve'esoy bo'u. And then it says Reuben and Shimon. It describes everyone who came to Mitzrayim. And finally, it says that b'nei Yisrael par v'yishutzu. And it starts describing everything that happened in Mitzrayim. The Mefarshim all ask that the first five psukim of the sefer have nothing to do with Sefer Shmois. It's just repeating, basically. It's a quick synopsis of basically what happened at the end of Bereishis, that everyone came down to Mitzrayim. And then in Pasuk Vav, we start describing what happened in Mitzrayim. Sefer Shmois is about the Geula, maybe about the Golos and the Geula. But how they came down to Mitzrayim, that's a Bereishis topic. That's something that that was already spoken about in Bereishis. And it's not really relevant to the story of Shmois at all. So why does the sefer begin with these five psukim, describing how we came down to Mitzrayim? And I think what the answer is that there's also another peculiar thing in the first pasuk. It says, "Ve'elos b'nei Yisrael haboim Mitzrayim, eis Yaakov, ishu beis habo." What does eis Yaakov mean? So the Mefarshim say it means im Yaakov, with Yaakov. But it doesn't say im Yaakov, it says eis Yaakov. Eis Yaakov means they came as a subordinate to Yaakov, tafel to Yaakov. That means that they came as tafel to Yaakov. However Yaakov came, they learned from Yaakov, how do we come to Mitzrayim? They came down as Yaakov was coming, and we're coming with Yaakov. And I think that the idea that the Torah is telling us is that the Geula was only made possible because of the way and the attitude with which they came to Mitzrayim in the first place. The attitude with which Yaakov came to Mitzrayim in the first place, that set the stage for the Geula to happen. And that therefore it's a critical part of the Geula, of the Sefer HaGeula. The Sefer HaGeula, the second Sefer, which describes the Geula from Mitzrayim and the Golos of Mitzrayim, a critical part of that is, how did they come down? Eilish Shmois b'nei Yisrael haboim Mitzrayim, we have to understand how they came down. So how did they come down? What was the significance? We say in the Haggadah, Vayered Mitzrayimah, Vayagar Sham. Vayagar Sham, and the Baal Haggadah says, what does it mean, Vayagar Sham? Melamed Shelo Yared Yaakov Avinu lihishtakeya b'Mitzrayim. He didn't come down to Mitzrayim to be there permanently. Ela logor sham, just to live there, just to be there. Shenemar logor bar is bana, to be a ger. Logor sham, to be a ger there, to be a visitor there. He didn't come lihishtakeya, to be there permanently. The Vilna Gaon, in his commentary on the Haggadah, says the following, and I'll read you his lashon. Fascinating lashon. He says like this: Shem haisa kavanasoi lihishtakeya. Because had Yaakov come with the intent to be mishtakeya there, to be there permanently, loy hayu yecholim lehigoyel, then the Jewish people would have never been able to leave Mitzrayim in the first place. Like the Vilna Gaon, a big chiddush, that if Yaakov Avinu would not have come with the idea of logersham, to be a ger there, then the Jewish people would have been stuck in Mitzrayim lo'olam vo'ed. They would have never been able to leave Mitzrayim. And he says, he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hid from him the idea that they were supposed to be there for 10 years. He hid from them that concept. He didn't let Yaakov Avinu know that he was supposed to be there, he was going to stay there. But that's what the Vilna Gaon says, and the Maral adds to that. The Maral also in the Pirush HaNagadah says, he says, logor means a ger, is a visitor. A visitor who visits a place, he leaves when it's the time to leave, hopefully. If someone's visiting, they have to know when it's the time to leave. But when it's the time to leave, they leave. You know, when I first came to Florida, so I was about to move, so everyone told me, said, you're going to find a lot of long-lost relatives and friends that all of a sudden are going to find your phone number and call you to say how you're doing and inform you that they're going to be in Florida in about 2 weeks. You know, you think that you have some room for me. And which is fine if they come, but again, a visitor has to know when to leave also. So he says, a visitor, a ger, can leave when it's the time to leave. But again, the Maral says the same as the Vilna Gaon. He says, Ilu yardu yarad lehishtakeya chas v'shalom hayu mevutolen mevatlan ha-ge'ula. The ge'ula would have been bottled had Yaakov Avinu come with the idea to stay there. So now, that's the significance, I think, of the first pasuk of the parasha. The first pasuk of the parasha is not just telling us his history, the end of Bereishis, why they came down to Mitzrayim, but it's telling us that in order for the ge'ula to happen, it's because they came as a subordinate to Yaakov with the attitude of Yaakov, and the attitude of Yaakov was, we're not here in Mitzrayim. We're only here temporarily, we're not here permanently. But, again, what does that all mean practically? What does that mean? I even saw in a sefer, he asked, how could it be that Yaakov didn't come there to be there permanently? He knew that he was going to be there for 210 years. He knew that they were going to stay there for 210 years. So I just read to you before, the Vilna Gaon says Yaakov didn't know. Yaakov thought he was only going to go down, you know, to get some food, maybe come back. And the Vilna Gaon says HaKadosh Baruch Hu hid from Yaakov the fact that he was going to stay there. But all the Mefarshim say Yaakov, the Ramban's Mashma, Yaakov did know that he was going to be there. So what does it mean he didn't go to be there permanently? And more than that, it seems like they did in other words, they stayed there for 210 years. What does it mean he didn't go that down there to be there permanently? And what it means is that he went down and he instilled in the Jewish people the ability to retain their Jewish identity, to retain their identity as independent people. They were never going to be part of Mitzrayim. They were never going to become part of what Mitzrayim was all about and symbolized. But again, that's also hard to understand because the Medrash says halalo avdei avodah zara, that when they were about to leave Mitzrayim, everyone was avdei avodah zara. The Jewish people also served avodah zara. They also worshipped idols. And then it says that they were yardu to memtes shari tuma, that they were at the 49th gate of tuma. The Jewish people were not necessarily doing what they were supposed to be doing. So what does it mean that they retained their identity? So we know the famous Chazal, the Mechilta. Everyone knows that. There were three areas with which Klal Yisrael retained their Jewish identity. And it wasn't through keeping the mitzvahs. It wasn't necessarily through keeping even the basic mitzvah. Even milah, it says that it wasn't clear that only when they got to the midbar they were mal. Before the Korban Pesach they did milah. Even the basic things about Yiddishkeit they didn't necessarily do. But there was one thing that they did. Three things that they did. Shleishinu es shemam, shleishinu es malbusham, shleishinu es l'shoinam. That they didn't switch their language, they didn't switch their names, and they didn't switch their form of dress. That means that even though they didn't keep the mitzvahs, they didn't keep the Torah, they didn't have the Torah, but they didn't keep even the basic tenets that the Avos kept, but they kept the Jewish identity by keeping themselves separate in these ways. We say in the Shmoneh Esrei Yom Tov, it says, Atav achartonu mikol ha'amin, you've chosen us from all the nations, ahavta isanu v'ratzisa banu. Atav achartonu, the Mefarshim say, he was referring to Pesach. And Pesach, there's a Bechir. Why does Hashem choose us? And we're thinking, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu choose us at that point? We weren't Roy. We weren't necessarily Roy, so we had a promise from the Avos, but we weren't Roy at that point. We weren't at all Roy to be able to be chosen. So why did Hashem choose us? Chafetz Chaim said, I heard from Ratz Yisrael Salmi, he said from Chafetz Chaim said, is because the Yiddish Midas, they still were able to keep the Midas. They kept their Midas. A Yid is a refined person, is a chosh of a person, a person that has sterling midos, and those midos, even though they didn't keep the mitzvahs, that they kept, and that's what it means. Shleishinu shemam es mabusham, that they kept themselves separate from things from the Egyptian culture in delicate ways, but those are the ways that kept their identity kayim. The Meshech Chochma says, Meshech Chochma Parshas Bo, he says a very interesting thing. He says if you compare the yitzia from Mitzrayim to the yitzia from Bavel. He says that the Gemara really asks. The Gemara says that really the Jewish people were promised that when they would return from Bavel, they would have Nisim, just like they had when they returned from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael. Just like when they left Mitzrayim, they came into Eretz Yisrael with Nisim, Kriyas Yamsuf and other Nisim. When they left Bavel, they should have also had Nisim. But why didn't they get Nisim? Why weren't they Zachet? So the Gemara in Brachas Dav Dalet says, Ella Shagara Machet. Because they sinned. And Rashi says, what sin did they do? They were nene misudasa shel Achashverosh, because they ate from the suda of Achashverosh. Meshech Chochma says that in Mitzrayim, the Jewish people were much bigger Rishoyim than in Bavel. In Bavel, you find that they kept the Torah, they kept the mitzvahs, Mordechai taught the Jewish people how to. Mordechai taught the Jewish people how to do kmitza. They were learning. They were doing mitzvahs. They were very careful. It says by Sudas Hashal Chashverish not to eat, drink Yai Nesech, and they kept all the halachas. They were much more careful in halachas. So what does it mean they were gar machet? How could it be that they did more chet in Bavel than they did in Mitzrayim? Fakir in Mitzrayim they did more averis. So the Meshech Chochma. But what was lacking was this nekuda, because you find that in Bavel, the Jewish people weren't as careful as they were in Mitzrayim about Shalashinus Shemam, Vishalashinus Levusham, Vishalashinus Mabusham. In Bavel, you find that they started using the Babylonian names, they started using the Babylonian language. The months of the year that we have, the Mepharshim say, are Babylonian names. Tisha, Cheshvan. Nowhere in the Torah do you find that those names for the months. It's Chodesh Harishon, Chodesh Hasheni, Chodesh Shlishi. It doesn't refer to it by name. The names of the months are Babylonian names. That means that the Jewish people, to a certain extent, took on some things about the Babylonian culture in Bavel, in the Gaul's Bavel. So when it means that the Gar Machet of Sudasa Shal Nenu be Sudasa Shal Achashverish, it means that they kept glatt kosher. They came to the Suda, they said, we're not coming to the Suda unless we see that, you know, you warm up the food in a separate oven and everything, we're not coming. Seems very frum, they're being very careful. But in that sense, they were more careful than they were in Mitzrayim. But they went to the Suda, and that was the problem. They participated in the culture around them. And that was the problem. And it says the Meshech Chochma, a very powerful line. He says, that is a bigger problem than worshipping Avodah Zarah when it comes to this. He says, V'hine, b'mei ha'yos Yisrael b'goyla. The Meshech Chochma says, when the Jewish people are in Golos, ha'ikar hu asyagim v'hagedarim shlo yis'arvu b'goyim. The most important thing, more than certain se'ifim and certain halachas and Shulchan Aruch, is shalais arvu b'goyim, to make extra s'yogim shalais arvu b'goyim, that they shouldn't become intermingled with the non-Jewish people. So that means that again, if someone would ask a shayla, well, should I avoid this s'yog or this extra, should I change my name or should I do avodah zarah? It's a hard shayla. You can't tell a film to do a avodah zarah. But in terms of this definition, what's a bigger deviation from Klal Yisrael? What's a bigger statement of a person that he doesn't want to be part of the Jew, that he's not part of the Jewish people? He's not roy to get galus. He geula is when he changes from when he's over shleishinu es shemam, shleishinu es mavusham, shleishinu es lashoinam. Even more than avodah zarah. And that was the difference between galus Mitzrayim and galus Bavel. The Sfarnoi writes, and this is another angle to this, and this is the concept, and we'll talk a little bit, a few examples and a few ideas how we can implement this to ourselves and understand it for ourselves. But the idea is to understand the significance of our who we are, our moral standards, and not to lower ourselves to what's around us, even if it doesn't say so anywhere in Shulchan Aruch, just the things where it doesn't say it anywhere. The Sfarnoi writes at the end of Bereishis, on the way down to Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls Yaakov Avinu and he says, Vayomer Elokim li Yisrael, and he refers to him with his name Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu has two names, Yaakov Yisrael. Yaakov is from the Lashon Ekev. That's when he's under Esav. Yisrael is when he's a sar to Esav. So he says the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls Yaakov by the name Yisrael at that point on his way down to Mitzrayim, and he says it twice in Parshas Vayechi and in Parshas Vayigash. In two places he says the same idea. He says because he's teaching him how to survive in Golos. How to survive in Golos is, Masha Omer Le'ata, Hayu Bishvil HaYoisi Yisrael, Sheitztarchu Banav Lehistarer Aleveim Bechnan. You have to be a sar. You have to be a prince. The Gemara in Brachos and Shabbos in many places says that Kol B'nei Yisrael Malachim Heim. The Jewish people are princes. We're all princes. We're choshev people. That means that a person, as a Jew, has a certain chashivas to him that doesn't allow to be affected and shouldn't allow us to be affected and to do what's around us. A prince is not affected, doesn't have a taiva to act like the peasants around him. Even though it looks fun, it looks like they're rolling in the mud. It's a lot of fun. But he's a prince. He knows he doesn't do that. And we have to look at it like we're princes. Klal Yisrael are princes. And by being a prince, we have certain midos. We have certain delicate midos. We're refined people. And therefore, even things which seem to be mutter, really we have to stay away from. And that's really the key to Galus, to surviving in Galus. So, for example, listening to music. So, what type of music to listen to? You know, does it say anywhere in Shulchan Aruch that you can't listen to rap music? You know, assuming that it's a man and he's not talking about any of the three Gimel Haveres Chamuras, which probably limits you a lot. But if that's the case, so it doesn't say anywhere in Shulchan Aruch that it's Aser. You'll find your Shulchan Aruch, it's not going to say it. But that's doing something like that is a bigger problem for a Yid than in some cases Se'ifim Shulchan Aruch. Again, I'm not telling you to ask a Shaila which one, what's a choice. But in terms of what's a deviation of the Jewish neshama, of a Yiddish neshama, that's a much bigger statement that a person is deviating away from the Mahalach of Kal Yisrael. If it dulls a person's sensitivity of being a delicate person, being a refined person. And it brings out the tzad behem of a person. In the street, they focus on the tzad behem of a person. That's why it's very interesting. Actually, said that the Gemara says. I heard this b'shem Rabban Kalan. This vart. The Gemara says that there's different that in a person. Has a tzad behemah to him, certain things that we have to do like animals. So you have to, our physical bodies require certain things that we have to take care of, just like animals. It's a tzad behemah person. You have to eat, you have to take care of yourself, you have to do certain things. And then there's a tzad ruchni of a person, a tzad nisham of a person, a tzad of a malach of a person. A person's a combination of a malach and a behemah. So the idea of tznias is, he said that the part that a person is embarrassed from, tznius means that's the part that a person's embarrassed from. The part of the person that's embarrassed from, that means that that's not really the ikkar. It means the ikkar is the neshama of a person. A yid is embarrassed to eat in public, eat in the street. The Gemara says a person eats in the street, he's like a kelev, he's doing a kelev. Rabbi Chana, I just told the story, Rabbi Chana Wasserman was walking with a Talmud and he was eating in the street and he said, you just became pasal edus because a kelev is pasal edus. So he said that a dog... A person that's not embarrassed by the tzad behemah, by the things that the physical part of what we have to do, eat, sleep, take care of other things, those things that a person is willing to do in public, that means that's really him. That's really him. He doesn't probably doesn't hide those things. That's the tzad behemah of the person in the street. That's what they focus on. The person acts b'tznius. What he's willing to do in public, he comes to shul. The things that he's willing to do in public, that's really who he is. And then he has to take care of everything else, but that's in private. The tzad behema by a yid, that's in private. So you'll tell me, where does it say anywhere? You're not allowed to eat in the street. You know, it doesn't say anywhere. But that's focusing on the things which are not the Yiddish things to focus on. The watching television. I'm not even talking about things which are aser. I'm talking about things which are aser. It dulls our sensitivity to certain things. In the schools, someone told me, I was telling him this, and they said, you know, in the schools, they have a Aseres Mitzvah, Hanukkah time, they have a week off. Everyone should push having a week off from watching television, something like that. And they were told that when they came back, when they started watching it again, they didn't realize how just a week away from a week off from watching it, they became sensitive to certain things. That when they came back a week later, they said, "This is what we've been watching this whole time," you know, and being so in your face with so many things that are not Yiddish values, it just pushes on us over and over again vulgarity and certain and coarseness of language, coarseness of speech. When the Gemara says Shlishinus Lashainan, it doesn't mean that they spoke Lashon HaKodesh necessarily. I don't know what they spoke, but they spoke like Yidden. That's what it means. There's certain things that it's not nivel peh. It's not also to speak like that. But a person who's a prince, a person who's a chash of a person, we don't speak like that because it's not appropriate for a prince to speak like that. Sometimes you'll find you're with a person and they'll say a comment, they'll use a word, a term, and they'll turn back, you know, that's inappropriate. Even though you would say it maybe, but for that person it's inappropriate to say. And you know, I can't give any examples, but the idea of a person just being sensitive to that, it doesn't say it anywhere in Shulchan Aruch, but it's a sensitivity. The emes is that this idea is true in halacha also. And people have a very hard time with it. Today, a lot of the issues that are confronting Orthodoxy, you could say, are regarding women and their role in Judaism and other things. You know, a lot of the issues are based on, and they want to see, where does it say in Shulchan Aruch anywhere that this particular activity is awesome? If we keep Shulchan Aruch, we're mamish mahadrin, show me anywhere in Shulchan Aruch, we would never be over any sif in Shulchan Aruch. And a lot of the things that, it doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch, but it's the minhag. Klal Yisrael never did these things. And it's not the way of Klal Yisrael to do it. So if it says in the Shulchan Aruch that it's not miderech hatznius of a certain thing, or it's not kavod hatzibur, so okay, but that's just a minhag, you know, that's not that important. But those are the things. It's more important to keep the Messiah sometimes than to keep the Sif and Shulchan Aruch. A person that the way to keep our Messiah Kaim, that's what we have. The way we connect is by keeping the Messiah Kaim. It's not necessarily by keeping we have to keep every Sif and Shulchan Aruch, but the identity of the Jewish people is by keeping the Messiah Kaim, by keeping those things Kaim, which are the more delicate things that we don't necessarily always realize. We start now. Shmois right now is the beginning of Shoivim. I wanted to just introduce a little bit the Shoivim that here in the Kollel we're going to have Shoivim Shiurim. Shoivim is a time that was set aside for by the Kabbalah, and it was niskabel by a lot of different sects in Klal Yisrael. Back to start with the Hasidim, and it's become popular amongst everybody today. That it's a time that we use to do tshuva and to think a little bit about Inyan Etznias and Inyan Kedusha and Tahara and the family. And halachas, shiurim are given on the halachas in order to be mechazik people in those areas of the halacha which bring Kedusha and Tahara into the family. I think that with this approach, we can really approach it a little differently. We don't have to approach it with an understanding that how bad everything is. How bad is it that what's going on in the street? How bad is the internet? How bad is the influences from the outside? How terrible and how much of a stira to Kedusha, all those things. It's true. But the real focus should be the opposite. How great are we? We are malachim. We are refined people. We shouldn't be involved in those things because it doesn't pass. It doesn't make sense for us. It's not appropriate for us. And really, that gives a person a whole different perspective. Instead of looking and saying, "Oh, you know," trying to convince ourselves of how evil and how terrible the things out there are, we should really just look at ourselves and say, "How great are we? We're b'nei malachim. Call yourself b'nei malachim." Him. That's why you can't wake up at 11 o'clock and say Kriya Shema because it says the princess woke up after 3 hours. I mean, Gemara saying it the opposite, but the point is that we're b'nei malachim. The Gemara says halachas, mamash halachas psukais, that certain things are muktzah, certain things, because call yourself b'nei malachim him. It's halachas and shulchan aruch because of this, and just realizing that we're the ones that are supposed to be bringing the message of HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the world. That's giving, and that achrayas is what makes us b'nei malachim. I think that with that focus, we could really look at it with a different perspective, and that will help us understand why we should be focusing on kedusha and tahara, and why we should want those things in our machane. The Rambam writes in the beginning of the Sefer of Kedusha in the Rambam. He says he's going to discuss, in the whole Sefer Kedusha, he discusses two things, two areas of halacha. Now you would think the Rambam has 14 svarim, the Yad HaChazaka has 14 sections. The one that discusses Kedusha should probably be the one that discusses maybe Beis HaKnesses, it should be the one that discusses maybe the Beis HaMikdash, maybe it should be the one that discusses learning Torah. That's what Kedusha is. The Rambam says he's going to discuss two things, the halachas of eating, and the halachas of marital relationships and which relationships are mutar and asr. Those are the two areas that the Rambam describes, arayas and achila, hilchas achila. Those are the two things which are in the Sefer Kedusha. And he says, because if a person is careful in those two areas, that brings Kedusha. And again, the way we're focusing it, the way we're saying it, the twist that we're saying, the angle that we're taking is that the Kedusha could come from a certain edelkeit, from a certain refinement. And that's where the Kedusha comes from. The Sephorna writes, very interesting thing. He says, we'll talk about Achila. He says, the Rambam says two things. Achila, and Arias. The Sforner writes in Parshas B'Shalach. He says Klaiso was complained. Zacharnos hadaga asher achalnu b'Mitzrayim chinam, that we remember the fish the way we ate in Mitzrayim. So Sforner asks, you know, what were they so happy about with the fish in Mitzrayim? Like, what's going on? What are they complaining about? So he says, because in Mitzrayim we could eat whenever we wanted. In Mitzrayim, we could eat whenever we wanted. We could take a snack here and a snack there. We could eat whenever we wanted. But in now with the man, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us meals twice a day. Breakfast, lunch, you had to sit down, eat your meal. You took your man in the morning, you took your man in the evening, and you sat down and ate. And they said they weren't used to that, because a slave doesn't have that opportunity to eat a meal. You know, he eats whatever he can. It says, now we have to eat. You know, we have to eat in a meal. We have to sit down and eat with a meal. But the reason that Hashem did that, he says, is because now is when they became a nation. They became malachim. A chashivas, it's the way a person eats, is a chashivas. They sit down and eat with a meal. I just heard a story that Rabbi Nenziger told me a story that when Rabbi Elimeir Bloch, when he was on the train, it tells the Rashiva, he was on the train, so they brought him food. Said he wouldn't eat the food until he put down a fork and a knife down and set the table, and then he would sit down and eat a meal. But just not, you know, eat a sandwich while you're in the car. A mechubad person doesn't eat like that. You sit down, eat a meal, you know. But that's the Sephorne writes this. The Sephorne writes that the chashivas of a ben melech is to eat a meal, is to sit down and eat a mealtime. You know, that's what the Gemara means. A person eats b'shuk, he's like a kelev. It's a certain lack of refinement of character. It's not a halacha, but it's a lack of refinement of character. And that's really the angle that I think that we can be mechazik ourselves with and look at ourselves and say we're chashav people, we dress a certain way, and we eat a certain way. And that's really the key to keeping our identity. It's with those things which are not necessarily tangible. So those things that doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch, but it's just the understanding of who we are, and that will make us different, that will make us separate. Like one of a friend of mine said, he said that when he, in his office, he said, I just wonder what when I speak to my non-Jewish partners, I just wonder what they think is more strange, that I won't shake the hand of a woman or they don't have a television. Because not having television, it's posh, that's a chelik of life. That's a chelik of society, you know. And a person that says, you know, I'm not going to lower myself and join everything that's out there necessarily. That's a chash of a thing. That's the way we keep our identity. I'll just end with one vart that I saw from Tzio Salman brought down from a sefer Be'er Moshe, a vart. He said that Yosef in last week's parasha says to the brothers, he says, don't worry about everything you did to me. He says, Elokim chashav ala toiva. Hashem, you know, I had a plan here. Laman asoy kayoim hazeh l'hachiyoy samrav. Laman asoy kayoim hazeh. There's words there. Kayoim hazeh. To do like this day l'hachiyoy samrav. So the words kayoim hazeh are a little bit strange. They don't fit in. You should just say Laman asoy l'hachiyoy samrav. Laman l'hachiyoy samrav. That he sent me down here to give sustenance, to give food, to give to the people. What's the reference of kayoim hazeh? So he wanted to say, he said, it doesn't make sense that this whole story happened so that Yosef would be able to give some food to the brothers when they came down to Mitzrayim. You know, it doesn't make that much sense. That should be the whole thing. So what Yosef was saying, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that you were going to be in Golos. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to prepare us for Golos. So what did he do? He sent me down here, Ke'ayoyim Azeh. What's Ke'ayoyim Azeh? He said, there's another place in Sefer Bereshis that it says Ke'ayoyim Azeh. What was it? It says, when Yosef met Eshes Potiphar, it says, Vayhi ke'ayoyim hazeh, vayovo yabaisa lasos molachtoi. Ke'ayoyim hazeh. Yosef came ke'ayoyim hazeh to meet Eshes Potiphar, and some say lasos molachtoi, he was going to do the aver, and eventually he survived, and he didn't do the aver. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent me for that ke'ayoyim hazeh to be oymid bin Yisayin. And by being oymid bin Yisayin, I'm bringing the hashpa to help all of us, the rest of the Jewish people, to help everybody survive all the nisyonos of Golos, to help all the Jewish people for history survive the nisyonos of Golos, survive the temptations, and through the hashpah of Yosef, for the Kayyom Hazeh that I did, Hashem sent me down here before everyone came down, before you came down, just like Yaakov Avinu sent you to send the yeshiva, Yaakov Avinu sent me down here, Hashem sent me here to be able to clean out Mitzrayim, to clean out a little area, that in this area there's not going to be Nisirinus, in this area Klal Yisrael will be able to survive and not be over in B'nisayin, be able to be Oymed B'nisayin with the Koyach of Yosef. But that's as much as the person is Shayach to Yosef. As much as the person shayach to those hashpois that were created, and here also HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent Gedolei LeTorah, they cleaned out certain areas and they brought the hashpois of Torah and here to every anywhere where there's Torah, it comes with a hashpa, a big hashpa from Gedolim that we're able to at least create a little bit of an area where we can feel like this area is clean. This area is not going to, we could be Oymed B'Nisayon here. If we connect to those areas of Torah and those areas that are coming with Ashpa from the Doris before them, of the people that were able to be Oymed B'Nisayon, and by doing that, we can be Oymed B'Nisayon, bring Kedusha V'Tahara into our Machne, not just by the things that we understand, but even by the things we could take a little bit of a step back and say, is this something that really is appropriate for us? Is this something that we should do? And we could do like Klal Yisrael did, Shleishinu Es Shemam, Shleishinu Es Levusham, Shleishinu Es Mabusham, and with that we'll be Zoichel, like Klal Yisrael did, to the Gula Shleim Meher Aminu.